Blog Talk Radio.
Talking about things that we still believe in that we know are not true. Yes, so before we get started, we have a message from our sponsor, Audible.com.
Happy New Day, everyone. Today's sponsor is Audible.com, a leading provider of spoken audio entertainment and information. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free book when you sign up for a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/soulsolution.
And now we will bring on our host, Ms. Laosa Rasul, who will give us the book of the week. Ms. Laosa, are you there?
I am. Thank you, Afia. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can. You're welcome.
Well, today's book of the week is an oldie but a goodie. It's called The Seat of the Soul. S-E-A-T, The Seed of the Soul by Gary Zukav. And Gary Zukav has written other books. He wrote The Dancing Luwai Masters, which was an award-winning book, and he uses the same extraordinary skill that he used to demystify the scientific abstractions and new physics in that book. But here in this book, he takes a brilliant and penetrating exploration of the new phase of evolution that we have now entered. And I highly recommend it. I think this is a very important book for everyone to read because it kind of brings us into the new experience that we're all having. So that's the recommendation for this week. And I also have a thought for today. And today's thought is that, and anyone who, you know, everyone's always welcome to call in with your questions, comments, or anything you'd like to share. But if you want to participate in the thought for today, that's also very much encouraged. Today's thought is that an excuse is the first cousin to a lie. And that should give us all some deep thought as we think about all the excuses that we've all made in our lives and being honest with ourselves. So that's the thought for today. And we have our topics for today. I think it's very interesting, and we hope that we'll get a lot of participation from people calling in about things that you know, that you believe in, that you know are not true. And hopefully I've gotten some thoughts on it from other people who I'm going to be talking about those. Hopefully some of you will call in. And Asiya, I think, has some also to share with us today. But some of these are pretty thought-provoking. And hopefully this will allow us to disconnect a little bit from the mass consciousness. I'm also going to share what some of these thoughts, a little later on, what some of these thoughts do to our physical bodies, this idea of not being completely honest with ourselves. And that's in harmony with the thought for today, too, that when we're not completely honest with ourselves, a variety of things happen. If we believe in things that we know are not true, that we have evidence and truth, but we decide to continue to believe in them because it's convenient or because we are fearful, then that leaves us with a wholly fictitious life experience. We turn into the cartoon characters. We turn into those illusionary thoughts that we're having because we are our thoughts. We do produce, we manifest our world around our thoughts. So if we believe in things that aren't true, then we have a fictitious existence. So one of the things that I have noted alarmingly lately, because I've been recently watching television when I don't normally watch very much of it, and I'm amazed and alarmed at the amount of pharmaceutical commercials. It is as if television is completely owned by pharmaceutical commercials. And at the same time, you know, they're telling us to believe that not so much in the individual medicine and what it does, but in this idea that it's normal to be sick. And it's normal to have this whole array of reactions from our medicines that is kind of an interesting concept because we're not really being healed. We're acquiring side effects. So it's kind of an interesting dynamic. So one of the things that I wanted to bring up first is this idea of believing that we're watching television for the entertainment value, which has been slipping into a deeper and darker and more negative depths in recent years, but that it is being sponsored or brought to us by this idea of sickness. So if we believe that we're watching television, that it's just nothing, we're just watching it because we like to watch the stories and we like to watch entertainment, and we're watching all of the commercials and we're buying into all of this medical care, and we're believing that these companies are helping us or presenting us with what we need to fix ourselves, that's an example of believing in things that we know are not true. So that's one of the examples I have. Afia, did you have something you wanted to put in between here? Because I have a few more, but I think that's a really good one to talk about.
Yes, I actually had one very similar to that, and I do have some other ones. But it's interesting that you talked about television, because 2 nights ago, where I'm located right now, the guy next door, he fell asleep with his television on and his door wide open with the lights on and everything. And, you know, when I've seen people that are, like, stuck in front of the television and just, I call it zombied out. And it was just, it's interesting that you brought that up, because it's a perfect example of how we are mentally altered and affected by television, you know, for us to leave our homes wide open, you know, with access to anybody, you know, it's just a lot of things that correspond with what you said. But I specifically dealing with pharmaceuticals, I put on my list the belief in, like, vaccination shots and flu shots, and you know, especially when it comes to newborns and parents that, you know, either they just didn't get the memo, or they're just too scared to not be forced to give their child shots if they have their child at the hospital. So that was my input. I do have some more, but I'll wait till later on.
Well, I think this one right now, one of the ones you mentioned, is very controversial because of all the outbreaks of measles. But if those who are learning and participating with us at DNA Replicate, we are learning how to speak to our bodies and how to get greater and better information than just necessarily following the herd. So I agree that what should happen is that we should know that we're part of the planet, we're part of Earth, and that there's intelligence in our bodies and in the planet, and that we can clean ourselves to a degree where we can get clear answers about what would be best for our bodies, in the same way that it would be best for us to eat from an intuitive standpoint instead of from a list of foods that someone on the internet has produced as being the healthy foods, or that the organizations that control what the pathway should be for the American standard diet. So these things can all be addressed, because we were born with the right and the intelligence in our bodies that even if our mind is confused, that we can address that. So we can, this is something that I think I may do a show on in the future to teach again those who don't know how to use simple kinesiology to be able to be in touch with their bodies, to ask the questions about, you know, not to say that you can't watch television or can't watch a movie, but to check to see is what would be harmful for you, what would be harmful. One of the things I would really recommend is that you mute the portion that talks about pharmaceuticals, because in the absence of being able to mute that out, if you listen or watch television a great deal, it will automatically insinuate itself into your brain and into your mind, where it becomes common thought that everyone is sick and that this is an inevitable result of being human, when it's not. I'm old enough to have grown up in an era where people really didn't get sick like they do now, where the way that people ate closer to nature and lived a lifestyle where mostly they, especially poor people, where the amount of illness and sickness just wasn't allowable in their thinking. They just didn't go to the doctor all the time unless it was something extraordinary or catastrophic. And that wasn't that many years ago or that many generations ago. Many people know that their grandparents and their parents have lived that lifestyle even as they got older. Not to say they never went, but they didn't go as often as our television commercials would lead us to believe would be necessary. So I definitely think that using some of the skill sets that we talk about and teach about on at DNA Replicate is very helpful because just basic, simple kinesiology can give you some answers to at least allow you to move further to do other exploration without assuming that a life is one big illness and that it's full of, you can't really even look for there to be complete healing, only side effects. So that's some of what it is that I can respond to. But there's also an idea that I'd like to bring forward, too. And this is one where I hear this often. People come to me for work and they want to continue to do recreational drugs. And they tell me, oh, I just feel so enlightened when I do this. I just feel wonderful. And I always say, well, what evidence do you have of that, of your enlightenment? What do you have that can show you that that is, in fact, that you were enlightened after the recreational drug wore off? So it's not so much that I'm saying you shouldn't make your own choices. You can make your own choices. But if you tell yourself something, that if you're saying to yourself, I am actually enlightened and raised to a higher level when I do this, shouldn't there be some evidence of that after it's over? So are you believing something that you really, your everyday life, that drives you to keep going back to do it, the evidence of that is that it's, you're believing in something that's not true. And if you are experiencing enlightenment and then have evidence to prove it, then that's excellent. But that it seems that that would be a good prerequisite for anyone who's in doubt, is to see, well, you know, do I feel like I'm in the shower when I'm out of the shower? Do I still feel enlightened when it's over? Am I still clean after the bath? You know, so to say, that idea. The other thing that I have that I thought was something that we should talk about is that the whole world, not just us individually, we're so emotional. If one country says something to another country, then the country feels like they have to retaliate. If a person says something to you at work, you take it, you know, where your heart is broken and you're upset about it and you're tossing and turning at night, when as a matter of fact, that most of what you encounter doesn't have anything to do with you. It has to do with the person and their own experience. And so all of the undue emotion that you experience as a result of that is really unnecessary and unproductive. And your belief that they were thinking about you the whole time is mostly not true. That it's the principle of someone has a bad day or a bad week or a bad life and they go home and they kick the dog and it's not personal to the dog. So that was another thought I had that I wanted to share. And I have one more before I'll come back to you, Asiya, and that is this one of that being mindful of what we say. When we believe that we can say what we think is the truth to anyone about anything, that's true, we can. However, we have to be mindful that we don't, that we understand the repercussions behind it. Sometimes when we say things to people, like we tell them we're going to do something or we promise them something, it's really a form of entrapment where we have a situation where there was no negative or positive existed, and we open our mouths and we say to someone, I'm going to pick you up at 8 o'clock on Wednesday night. And then the person develops a will and an interest in that experience. And then if that doesn't happen, then they experience being let down or disappointed because they remember that the person said, I'm going to get back to you, I'm going to call you, I'm going to do whatever it is. So in reality, the first cause is the person who spoke has, so to say, entrapped another. And now that person, when the circumstance doesn't take place, is disappointed and unhappy and experiencing a whole realm of negative emotions because someone said something that was not important enough for them to follow through on, or if they couldn't follow through, If they haven't called to say, well, that's not going to happen, you know, I'll make other arrangements. So this is, you know, believing that you can just say anything, because in the moment of the spirit of the moment, you're feeling generous or magnanimous, and you're like, I'm going to do this, but there's no power behind it. And in point of fact, what happens is you end up being the person who instigates an entire negative experience for someone else. And we tend to believe that we can say things with no consequences, but that is a belief that's not true. So I wanted to make sure I brought that one forward, because I think many people don't realize that they end up being the, so to say, the person who entraps others into a negative experience through doing something they think is positive, because the person they're speaking to has built hopes and dreams on their word. So that's a very important point that I wanted to bring forward today. And you've got more, Asiya? Or do we have any?
Yes. No, there are no callers in queue yet, but if there is anyone listening who would like to get in queue, please press 1. So I have two more. And one, I actually, it was something that kept coming up with multiple people. And then the other one that I have is, it can be said in many different ways, but basically you can't fix a problem from the same frequency that the problem was created.
Oh, Einstein's famous quote, you know, that's absolutely important to talk about. I think that is such a brilliant and profound saying. And I'm really glad you brought that forward. Do you wanted to expand on it?
Sure. I know a lot of I've had a lot of situations in my life, and we all know someone who is experiencing some type of repetitive cycle of something that is unhealthy or unnatural, but it's like they say, you know, I want to do better, I want to do this, I want to do that, but they keep doing the same thing that's keeping them in the cycle. That's a perfect example of, and it's also what a form of insanity as well. So it's pretty much self-explanatory, because everybody can relate to it. We've all have done things to where we knew that we were we wanted to do something different, but we knew that we were doing something that was not different. And sometimes, depending on who you are, you have to hit rock bottom sometimes and have nowhere to go, like have no more room to continue that cycle before you realize, okay, I really do have to turn around and go the opposite way. So,
I think that's really excellent that you brought that forward, because it's like people who smoke or who drink. There's a biological aspect of it. So it's not as if the person isn't trying to stop eating or drinking or smoking or any addictive behavior. There is this physiological and biological aspect that does, and spiritual aspect, that does keep them in that cycle. However, we are the masters of this dimension and of this universe. So if we could just know and call on the power of our knowingness that we are the ones who are in charge of our destinies, that even there's a method that I teach that when people are addicted that works amazingly well on, and it's a method I learned years ago from the Silva Mind Control. And this is a method where, and I'll share it for all of those who have addictions, that you spend 15 minutes 3 times a day imagining what life would be like without the addiction. And you do that, and on a calendar you mark off each day for 30 days. And even people who were on serious hardcore drugs have been able to recover just by doing that. And the reason it works is because for the 30 days, it takes 21 days to change a habit. If you could hold the thought for 21 to 30 days, you can move your subconscious mind into a new parameter. So if you are drinking or smoking or eating or whatever, if you can get your subconscious mind to be in accord with the new decision, then it's not a struggle. It becomes an easy way because your subconscious mind just kicks in between 21 and 30 days and you change the behavior. So it's not complicated. It's just not what we have been taught. But this is a very powerful skill set that I learned maybe 30 years ago in a silver mind control class. And this is something that they were using to bring back heroin addicts with at the time. And the principle behind it is that you're fighting yourself when your subconscious motivation is not on your side. So when you visualize several times a day what life would be like without whatever the obstruction is, then your subconscious mind immediately moves into the mode of supporting and helping you painlessly move towards that. So I think that's a very important clue, and I'm glad I was able to share that with the public today, because this is something that it doesn't cost anything. You can do it yourself, and it can allow you to gain mastery over your present self again. So that was really good.
Yes, thank you.
Do you have another one?
Yes. Now, this other one, it's for me, it's a little, it's a bit funny, but it's something that has come up a lot in conversations that I've had with many people. And I had a experience, it was an interdimensional experience where I was in communication with children of the future, and what they told me, they said the children that are waiting to come in through specific beings and adults who are at a certain frequency, there are certain belief systems that will be immediately blocked if these belief systems are if they are taught, or if they are taught to the new children. And these children, they will not, their frequency will be so high to where they can't receive anything that makes them look outside of themselves for truth. So a lot of religious beliefs, a lot of like holidays, like Santa Claus and the Easter Bunny and all of that type of stuff, the children just will not have that. And when I talk to people, what comes up is the idea that, you know, a God-like figure is going to come and save humans, you know, come back and save us. And and with this particular idea, is definitely one that many people are holding on to because it's been passed down for many generations. But in my communication with people, I've told them, well, you know, if you have family members that believe that, ask them what does this figure need to be wearing for you to take him seriously when he does come back? Because if he's wearing the robe, are you going to take him seriously when he comes back, or does he have to be dressed like modern day times? And when I said that, it made a lot of sense to people, because it's like, wow, how would I react in 2015 if somebody did come back to save us and they were dressed this way or they were dressed that way? You know, so it was it was interesting, but, you know, that idea of, you know, waiting on something to come save you is definitely a pathway that will keep you in resistance and unable to expand in consciousness and expand in your own self-empowerment. So I hope I said that in a way that was understandable.
Well, I'm really glad you did, because it brought to mind something that someone sent me. I'm looking at an email. Someone sent me an email that said, why do we refuse to accept the obviousness of the truth for old beliefs that no longer serve us? And then she wrote, the answer is fear. Because if you accept reality as it is, it essentially means that you are living a lie, or simply it's the truth requires you to be challenged so that you can let go of previous beliefs that may scare you. And I think you touched on that idea. So this was something someone sent. And it yes. touches on the idea of whether it's a savior, or whether it's a food, or whether it's a new understanding about medicine or an old understanding, these ideas to that if you are too afraid to accept the truth that conflicts with an old belief system, then you, because you're not open enough to receive the truth, then you lose, so to say, or you at least lose time and need to go and rethink some of the beliefs. So belief is something we tell ourselves over and over again. It's not necessarily based on fact. You know, it's something that we repeat over and over again in our minds. You know, we believe, like, you know, it's raining in Texas. It's raining in Texas, and it may not be raining in Texas, but if we believe that, then we can say, you know, I believe that it's raining in Texas. Or, you know, we hear politicians say, I believe, and what that means is that they have repeated whatever it is to themselves over and over again, and they have developed enough energy to call it a belief. It doesn't make it factual. So I think all of that is in the same genre. And I want to now, unless you have something else, I want to now talk about what happens when beliefs enter our body and some of the physical manifestations we get from certain behavior and belief systems. So if you don't have anything else, I'm going to move right into that. Oh, I think we have a commercial coming up, right?
Yes, we do. And I don't have anything else. Do you want to take callers after you talk about?
Take callers right after the commercial.
Okay, perfect.
Soul Solution Food for the Soul Radio is happy to be sponsored by Audible.com, a leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment and information. They have over 150,000 titles to choose from, and you can listen to them on any device, including whatever you're hearing us on right now. And if you sign up at our URL, which is audibletrial.com/soulsolution, you get one free audiobook and a one-month trial of service.
All right, our first caller is area code 818, last four digits 0045. Your mic is unmuted.
Emma Cash, this is Karina in Glendale.
Hey, Karina.
It's so nice to hear from you, Karina. Good to hear from you today. How are you?
Oh, all is well in my world. I'm thrilled to be here again. I wanted to just briefly comment on what was said earlier, because we've all had this situation where, oh, maybe two people are speaking and one says, okay, we'll meet Friday, and the other one is really holding on to the words of that person, you know, their agreement. So I just wanted to recognize about being impeccable with our words. You know, and people say, well, impeccable, what is that? You know, because it's not really a word we use every day in our language these days. But to be impeccable with your word is just logical, common sense, old school bringing up of just do what you say. Just do what you say. It's nothing to download. It's nothing to research. Just do what you say. And you will find that you're living a better world, a better way, that your words are creating what really is happening. If you say you're going to be there Friday, be there Friday. And we know that we adjust constantly in life. So if something comes up, just say, hey, I will not be there Friday, rather than to leave that. The damage comes in where it's lost and, oh, well, I went on to something else. And then that changes the whole dynamic of it. So I just wanted to speak on that and really enjoying the conversation. Thank you.
Thank you, Karina, for calling in. That is an important, that is a really important topic, and you went into a little bit more of it too. The idea that, and I just mentioned this before, but this is, seems like a good time to mention it, the word abracadabra means we speak our world into being. And what that would infer is that if we speak and nothing we say, or 5% or 10% of what we say, we cannot have the power behind it to make it so, then we're living a life that's mostly in our imaginations, because we aren't speaking our world into being by follow through. We live in the physical universe, so thought alone, word alone is not enough. There has to be enough power behind it to make it so. And it has to be, the word has to be important enough to you that you're willing to do the necessary things that make the word so. Otherwise, it's all like imagination. It's like daydreaming. Like, I just daydreamed I'm going to do that, and the daydream went away. So I'm really happy that you commented on that so we could elaborate a little bit more and really recognize what that magical term abracadabra means. It doesn't mean speak your word and don't make it so. It means bring it into being. And we have, I'm thinking now of Star Trek and kings of the past when they say, and now, you know, this is the word, now make it so. That's the idea of it, is that when you are a creator, then you follow through and you create. When you're still, you know, if you're practicing, you don't have to follow through. So if we make our word so, it brings us greater into our own creativity. And the importance of that cannot be understated, because we're growing into our own divinity, where we are creating everything that we're saying into the physical world. So thank you.
All
right.
Thank you.
Okay.
Let's see. Our next caller is 860, last four digits, 6827. Your mic is unmuted.
Hi, in Lakesh. This is Daphne. How are you?
Oh, Daphne. Nice for you to call. Usually
yes.
We don't hear from you. I'm so glad you called in.
I know. I actually saw the message pop up on my email from ASEA. I said, oh, I've got to call in today. I just had two things to comment or question on. The first one was the topic from the last caller. So you've on entrapping someone with your word and not following through, and you've allowed disappointment to be in this person's experience. So I was just wondering what in the instances where you have done that and you are now conscious of it to no longer do that, if you practice Ho'oponopono over that, does that help kind of clear that energy for everyone involved? That's the first one. And the second one is you had given the example of someone who has some habit and imagining themselves without that habit for at least 15 minutes a day. For the last, I would say, I don't know, week and a half or so, I've been imagining my life with the things and experiences that I would want. And I just feel so high. Literally, I feel that it's here. So I'm wondering, conversely, when you flip that around, what the effects are in your experience. Thank you.
Thank you, Daphne. These are spectacular questions, and I always love talking about Ho'oponopono. Ho'oponopono is a system of cleaning that does move away from you past trance, as well as open the fields and move for you to step into clear fields to develop in, so to say. So if you have, whatever we have done in our ignorance, we've done it in our ignorance, and Ho'oponopono is a good way for us to move it, but we do not have to go back and hang on to the things that we've done in our ignorance. We need to stop doing them. Once you know better, you do better. So once you know and have a deeper, clearer understanding, the reason people do things like this is that they don't know, or they have a shallow appreciation of how the world works or how the universe works. So because we have not been taught these things from childhood, so whatever has been done, recognition that it was something that you have outgrown now. You've outgrown the level of intelligence that would allow you just to say to people, I'll get back to you next week, and then the person's waiting. And if you don't do it, then you don't feel any kind of way about it. But when you start paying attention and examine your life and examine what you say, and when it is important to you how you interact with others, and the word that Karina used was impeccable, when you want to operate in such a way that you're not responsible for someone else's negative, when that becomes more important to you than what you're saying, when you care that much, when you have that much compassion for others, then it changes. Then automatically you moved into a new vibrational resonance. And that resonance allows you to step above that place. This is really that idea that Asiya was speaking of earlier from Einstein, that you can't really correct the problem when you don't recognize there is a problem, or when you recognize it, you can't correct it until you move into an energy that allows you to appreciate the ones and love the ones you're talking to in such a way where you want to make sure that what you say, it's like talking to your children, you want to make sure that if you promise them something, it happens. So you don't have to be concerned. No one has to be concerned about what they did in their ignorance. They just need to embrace the new level of consciousness that you have. And the second question, about in reverse, absolutely. You know, this is what all of the New Age teachers are talking about, like use visualization to bring your manifestations into reality. Absolutely. In the same way that you convince your subconscious that you no longer have the addiction, you can also convince yourself that you are the person who has whatever it is. And the way that you do it, just in case I didn't reiterate it, is you do it for about 10 to 15 minutes a day, three times a day, in the morning, in the afternoon, and in the evening. You imagine what life would be like if the thing existed. So if what you want is to be loved and adored, then you imagine, what would I feel like if I were cherished and loved and adored? And you feel that. You have that experience three times a day, and then that joy and that exuberance takes you until the next time. So if you do it at 10 in the morning and then you do it at 1 in the afternoon, it holds you until each time. And after 30 days, you're there. Your subconscious now knows that you are loved and cherished, and then all the next things will come that come along with that. So I hope I've answered your question. If not, I love these comments and the things that you had to say. So if there's more, you can let us know, or if I haven't answered it completely.
Oh, no, you answered it. Thank you.
So thank you so much for calling in. I know you have a lot of wonderful things to share, too, about things that have been going on with you. Do you want to share any of that before you leave today? Because we're so happy to have you on here.
Yes, thank you so much. There's just been so much. I'll start with what, since we're both all in this physical world, I'll start there. Like the one of the main things we need in the physical world we live in is some resources to sustain us. So I'll start there. Since I started my work with you back in September, numerous things have happened as far as my family almost being addicted to having me around them, new job, new money. But one of the things I'll share is the influx of abundance that has come out of the blue since working with you. One of the companies that I left previously had given me some stock incentive to stay there. It was a small biotech company, and since they didn't have some of the major offerings, like some of the larger pharmaceutical companies, they gave us some stock. And this is a company that has no marketed product. They have no revenue being generated, okay? They were just, they're just getting started. So when I left the company, I had to cash in the stock. This was stock given to me. I didn't have to match it. I didn't have to buy anything. Free stock. So when I go to exercise my options and I wanted the cash of it, it was nearly $30,000. And so I placed my call, and everything went smooth. Some of the things that were required of me to do, I didn't have to do. It was waived. And I look in my account, and in days, oh, by the way, I did exercise my options, and I look back, and it was March 17th again. That is a very lucky day, I suppose. And I look, and I went from just going pretty much paycheck to paycheck to paycheck to having a windfall come from out of the blue. And I know I've been listening to some of the callers while I was going through my work with you, and I hear them say that they stopped some of their habits and they've got money and a job. I hear it, but when you experience this for yourself, it really blows you away. So I just wanted to share that this is real, this vibration is real, this frequency is real, and I'm so glad and thankful to have found both of you and Asiya to start this spiritual journey or to continue on this path that I'm on. Thank you. Peace of eye.
Well, thank you so much, Daphne, and for you talking about that. I think it's really helpful for others to know that even if you didn't expect this was going to happen, you didn't know it was going to happen, but because you were moving into a different frequency, the abundance that had been eluding you when you were, I almost want to ask you, will you share a little bit about just where your state of mind was when you came into the work, because I think it will help explain what you're saying.
Oh, absolutely. When I picked up the phone to call you, I don't think I had prepared or cooked a hot meal for myself in over a year. I just would go out to eat every day. I had no energy. I cleaned my house to do something extra for myself. That was just out of the question. I was able to get myself up, show up at work, and come back home. And put some gas in my car. That was pretty much the extent. I was literally just a warm body, and I knew that this had to stop and I couldn't go on this way anymore. I knew something had to be changed at the core. I had to go to the root and work on resolving this because I knew that this was something outside of me, and I couldn't function like that anymore. I've since lost weight, gone shopping, my hair's grown out, I feel good all over the place the majority of the time, I've taken some vacations, and it's just, I could go on and on. I am going to have to set up some time with you and maybe do a recording just to share all of the things that I've experienced, because it really is mind-blowing. I've actually left this dimension. I've gone to the fifth dimension and experienced some life events of myself in the future. I've just, you name it, I pretty much have experienced it.
Well, I don't want to capture you for too long, but I did want you to kind of give a frame of reference, and I think you did, because if you don't remember probably, but the same thing you just said on the radio was the very same thing you said to me in the first phone call. You said those exact words to me then. So it's very, very interesting, and I'm very thankful that you've called in, because people need to know that wherever they are, it can be better, and that,
yes.
You know, in this whole process, you can give yourself a high five and pat yourself on the back because you have been, that was recommended. You know, it's not, this work, if this is a cooperative effort, people actually heal themselves. So that's important for everyone to know. And you embrace the process, and it's working for you. And none of us are finished yet. It's not over yet.
I'm looking forward to it. Even with everything I've experienced, you've even shared that I haven't even, I'm not even on the wave yet. I'm just looking at it. So I'm very excited to continue.
Well, thank you again for calling in. We appreciate it very much, Daphne. I think this is one of those things that it's good for you to speak your truth out loud. Because this, even speaking this, magnifies the truth of what you say. So
that you have done us all a good turn today, including yourself.
Good. Yes, good. Thank you. Thank you very much.
And thank you. Have a wonderful day, Daphne.
You too.
And Lakesh.
Thank you, Daphne. All right. Our next caller is area code 305, last four digits, 6871. Your mic is unmuted. Area
code
305-6871.
Welcome to Cell Solutions. Nobody's there.
Yeah, they might have to call back. But if you wanted to go into the next part, and if this person calls back, then we'll just bring them back on.
Okay, thank you, Afia. Well,
okay, no problem.
One of the things I wanted to talk about is different physical issues that take place because of the way we think about things, and these things are called mental causations. And this is something I think you can look up on the Internet and find it, but there are some that are particularly interesting. And one of the ones I want to bring forward is this idea of aging. In which is a belief system. Aging is a belief system that we have had for so many generations that it's thoroughly ingrained in us. But some people manage to escape it not only by living a long time, but also by looking beautiful for a very long time. And it's true that if we believe in wrinkles, we most certainly will experience them in the same way that we're talking about the manifestation of everything, even with what Daphne just said about knowing it was time for a change and then opening herself to receive the change, then the change starts flooding in. And as long as she remains open, then the floodgates remain open to all these changes. So aging is a social belief, and it has to do with old thinking. So this is really part of the topic we're talking about, is things that we believe that are in our old thinking that have already created whatever the circumstances that we are currently experiencing. And if we don't, as Athea said, if we don't change that thinking, we can't change the outcome because we have to move into a higher level of thinking. So aging is old thinking. And there's a wonderful, for anyone who would like to work on their aging, there's a wonderful, easy idea that you can tell yourself, you know, to change that, and it is that I love and accept myself at any age. Each age is perfect, because we tend to think that aging is negative, and we tend to think of those who have aged as not having value. So we can affirm to ourselves that I love and accept myself at any age, and that each age is perfect, and that will help us a great deal. And one of the other ones that I think I have time to get in, and I do, is this idea of not being able to breathe, to feeling like we're being smothered, to feel like we're being suppressed, to feel like we're being stifled. That we're, you know, that this is sometimes caused by oversensitivity, that we feel that we are not able to take in a deep breath and take charge of our own lives, to feel that we are free. So if we are feeling these kinds of thoughts, this can physically affect our ability to breathe in air, to catch our breath, so to say. So this is an idea for us to look at and examine. So many people are having this feeling of asthma or shortness of breath or not being able to fully breathe in the life force that we need to continue our life. And this comes from feelings of being smothered love, suppressed crying, feelings of being stifled. And a good affirmation for that is, I am free. I take charge of my life. I am free. I take charge of my life. So if any of you are experiencing anything like that, And this is not to say don't take your medication or anything like that. This is just to say if you notice that you have that, you might want to explore these ideas and notice, do you feel suppressed, like you're suppressing and crying? Do you feel like your feelings are stifled and that you've got smothered, you've been smothered with love? And so much so that it's like when somebody, I can remember being a little girl and people would hug you so much that your nose would be in their chest and you couldn't breathe, like smothered love, and you couldn't get enough breath and you want to get away, not because you don't like the person, but because they're smothering you. And this is associated with these ideas of not being able to get enough air. There's also one that I'd like to share. I think we have a little more time. And this is back problems that surface. These are mental causations that surface because of the lack of emotional support. So when almost always when someone says to me that their back hurts, I almost always remind them to think of, do you feel supported by the ones around you? Are you feeling like you get the support you need financially? Do you feel like you get the support you need from the universe? Do you trust the universe to support you? Or do you feel like you're Atlas and you're carrying the world on your shoulders and the weight of what's on your shoulders makes your back hurt because of the lack of support? So a good affirmation for that would be, I trust the universe and I freely give love and trust. I trust the universe and I freely give love and trust. And this has to do with lack of emotional support, lack of financial support, fear that money won't come to you. And this affirmation is a wonderful one for anyone at any time. I trust the universe. I freely give love and trust. And the funny thing about this is that, and I say this about Ho'oponopono all the time, is you're thinking anyway. Why not think an affirmative thought that will give you the support you need? So why not think or use your belief to say, I trust the universe, even if you haven't developed that in truth yet, but use your belief system to say that you do trust the universe, that it supports you and it gives you love until such time as it does, that it shows itself it can. And again, these things, these habits of the way we think, we can change them in 21 to 30 days. So I hope that everyone has enjoyed the show today. I'm so thankful for the callers who have called in. We really appreciate this. When you call in and you share your stories and you help others who are feeling the same way, there are many others who are listening now and in archives who have the same experiences and thoughts that you do. And we really appreciate you calling in because you can assist them by your calls and by your thoughts and by your successes. So thank you all, and I think we have one more message from our sponsor before we leave for today. So in Lakesh, everyone.
Have a great day, everyone. In Lakesh.
Soul Solution Food for the Soul Radio is happy to be sponsored by Audible.com, a leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment and information. They have over 150,000 titles to choose from, and you can listen to them on any device, including whatever you're hearing us on right now. And if you sign up at our URL, which is audibletrial.com/soulsolution, you get one free audiobook and a 1-month trial of service.